Okay, welcome to Brighteon Broadcast News for Thursday, June 8th, 2023. Mike Adams here. I've got a special guest for you coming up here, an in-studio guest. We had Dr. Ed Group from Global Healing Center in studio. In fact, I filmed a couple of interviews with him instead of filming my show, which is why the show is audio right now instead of video. But we have Ed Group coming up with a great interview, and then we'll have another one with him, I don't know, a few days later. We'll just save it for then. And also, Tiptoe to Tyranny, which begins this Saturday, just 2 days away, for free. You can watch the whole thing for free. Registration is required. Just email. And just go to brightu.com. That's Brighteon University. It's just like it sounds. Bright and then the letter U. Brightu.com. And you can watch that film starting Saturday, and it loops also all week long, so Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and so on for the rest of the week, and that should be quite fascinating. I think you'll learn a lot. I also have a special report coming up here about crypto and what we're trying to do in terms of adding crypto ecosystems to our various platforms and some of the challenges I've had, but nevertheless, how we are committed to the idea of helping people explore the utility of decentralized cryptocurrency because it's critical for human freedom. And along those lines, we have breaking news over the last couple of days about the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, suing or filing charges, although not criminal, so it's essentially a suit, against Binance and Coinbase. Binance, the largest cryptocurrency exchange in the world, and Coinbase is, I don't know if it's the second largest, but it's certainly one of the largest in the United States, perhaps the largest in the U.S. other than Binance. And both of these companies have been hit with multiple charges from the SEC, which is claiming that they're engaged in all kinds of illegal activities of, you know, buying and selling unregistered securities and allowing people to trade unregistered securities and other similar nonsense. So there are some bombshells about that. Also, we have some other news about Pizzagate. The Pizzagate pedophile network is now confirmed to be real, and it has been uncovered by none other than the Wall Street Journal. So remember a few years ago when everybody started reporting Pizzagate and how pizza symbols and pizza words were code words for pedophiles and child rapists and groomers and traffickers and all that? Remember that? And then you weren't allowed to say that. Oh, it was a conspiracy theory, we were told. Nothing but a conspiracy. And it turns out that there is a massive Pizzagate pedophile network underway right now on Instagram. And the Wall Street Journal has uncovered that, and we're going to be covering that here in more detail. We've also got 600,000 Americans dead from the vaccine, according to Dr. Peter McCullough and his recent testimony. We'll play that for you. And then also, what is this? Oh, yeah. The German Nutrition Society recommends one sausage per month for everyone, a 90% reduction in daily meat eating to combat global warming. So one sausage per month. Insert joke here about June being Pride Month. Okay. You can use your imagination. But anyway, in Germany, you're supposed to combat global warming by limiting your sausage to only one per month. This is insane. The war on meat, the war on the food supply, and they're slaughtering hundreds of thousands of cows in European countries and trying to create scarcity and, you know, massive starvation. So all of that is what we're going to be covering here on today's broadcast. By the way, if you like the sound quality of today's broadcast, I've switched over to a new recorder. I'm trying it out today. You can let me know how it is. It's a Tascam portable recorder because I've been using all these years. I've been using a Zoom recorder, and the Zoom recorder glitches a lot. It just leaves out parts of seconds of audio just randomly, like, whoa, half of that word is gone. And so it doesn't even matter if you have a fast SD card, you know, it doesn't matter how fast it is. It just leaves out words. So I moved over to this Tascam recorder. It's called the PortaCapture X8. If you're wondering what that is, I don't know. It's got six audio tracks, and you can hold it in your hand. So pretty cool. If it doesn't glitch today, then we can applaud Tazcam. We'll see how it goes. But let's go ahead and start out with this video of Dr. Peter McCullough testifying before, what is it, the state legislature in Arizona, I believe. And this is a CHD.TV video. I'm not sure what the original source was. It's also on the LibertyDaily.com. But let's check this out because he breaks it down, confirming that there are at least 600,000 Americans dead from the COVID vaccine, which, of course, is more than the number of Americans who died in the Civil War, because this is a war on humanity. And by the way, 600K is a very conservative estimate. It's no doubt at least twice that, maybe 2.5 times that. We're probably at 1.5 million or somewhere in that range at this point, maybe even more. But let's hear what Dr. Peter McCullough says in this roughly 2-minute video. Here we go.
The estimates are from three different sources. One from Columbia by Pantazatos and Seligman. In 2021 alone, based on U.S. Census data and Vaccine Administration data, 178,000 Americans died due to the vaccine. 2021 alone, that's one estimate. The next one is by Skidmore and colleagues, Michigan State University, using social sciences data of people who knew others who died of the vaccine. His number came in for 2021 at 278,000 Americans. At the time of December of 2021, the CDC told America 9,000 Americans had died of the COVID-19 vaccine. The CDC, now that's what they had reported to them. Remember, if we don't have the vaccine card, and we don't have the lot numbers, and we don't have all the details, because when we enter Tavares, doctors enter Tavares, by the way, 86% of the time is a doctor, a coroner, a healthcare professional. If we don't have all the information, we can't make the entry because we have to put our name on the line on a Tavares report. But 9,000 deaths, the vast majority occurred on the day they took the shot or a few days afterwards, times a standard underreporting factor that's in the FDA record by David Wiseman, and this is a conservative number, underreporting factor of 30. In the peer-reviewed published literature right now, there's underreporting factors of 35 and 40, but let's take 30, and we're at 9,000 deaths. It's 3 times 9. It's 270,000 for 2021. 270. So if we've lost 250,000 Americans in 2021 and a similar number in 2022 due to the vaccine, now we're up to 500,000 Americans lost. And now Josh Sterling, who under oath in the United States Senate, using U.S. overall all-cause mortality data and U.K., all-cause mortality data, he's estimating the vaccine is responsible for 600,000 lives lost. This is more than the Civil War. This is a modern-day American tragedy.
I thought there at the end, Dr. Peter McCullough was going to say this is a modern American Holocaust, but he did not use the word Holocaust. He said tragedy. It is, of course, both. It's a tragedy. It's a kind of Holocaust. It's not the historical Holocaust, but it has ties to the Holocaust because it all traces back to Big Pharma and the chemical conglomerate companies like IG Farben, right? Same kind of thing. It's an attempted extermination. This is genocide against humanity. Whereas in World War II, they were targeting one ethnic group, by and large. Today, on a planetary scale, they are targeting all human beings. So yeah, it's a Holocaust, and by the way, the 600,000 estimated deaths, that's just in the United States. And the U.S. is a relatively small country in terms of population compared to a lot of other countries, India, China, even Nigeria for that matter. So the U.S. is not by any means the most populous country in the world. Just remember that. Oh, also remember it's 600,000 deaths so far because this tragedy is not yet over, is it? More people are continuing to die. I hear stories almost every day from friends or family members, people they know who took the jab and then they died. Oh, by the way, did you hear that Jamie Foxx is reportedly learning how to walk again? He's in a post-stroke recovery rehab center that teaches people to regain motor control so that they can walk. And I feel very, very sad, saddened, sorry about anyone who has suffered a severe stroke. It is a horrific thing to lose motor coordination. And when it's a severe stroke, which is what appears has happened to Jamie Foxx, you know, the celebrated Hollywood actor who took the vaccine and then suffered this stroke, reportedly, a severe stroke can damage the connection between your brain and the nerves that control the muscles on an entire side of your body. You can lose motor control over, you know, your, let's say if it's your left side, your left leg, your left arm, your left face. Just lose control over the left side of your face, your left eye, you know, makes it difficult to speak, difficult to eat or chew, and impossible to walk, and so on. Stroke recovery is a very, very difficult thing. And so, you know, we pray for Jamie Foxx to experience a recovery. It was reported that he was blinded and that he was unable to speak following the stroke. Now, that could be blind in one eye, perhaps. It could be unable to speak because of loss of motor control over half of his, you know, mouth and tongue and so on. But those things can recover, although it is a slow process. And so I hope that Jamie Foxx can one day resume his ability to walk and speak and see. And furthermore, I pray that he would then share the truth with the world about why no one should take the COVID vaccine jab that has also killed 600,000 Americans at minimum and is currently killing many more right now. I wonder how many people are suffering from strokes because of the vaccine. How many people have suffered heart attacks, myocarditis? How many people are dead? We know it's not just 600K. This is a war against humanity. And in my interview with Dr. Ed Group today, we talk about this. This is biological warfare. And astonishingly, they were able to convince people to line up and beg for the shot, to beg to be injected with a biological weapon. And that took a major psychological terrorism operation by the media, by the government, by the drug companies, by schools, corporations, unions, employers, airlines, you name it. It was a concerted, coordinated conspiracy to commit mass genocide against humanity. And it has taken a toll. So now let's turn our attention to the Pizzagate confirmation by the Wall Street Journal. Again, in case you don't recall, a few years ago, Pizzagate talked about how pedophilia and child trafficking networks were operating in plain sight, pedophile sex rings in America, in Washington, D.C., by the way. How do you think they blackmail a lot of the politicians there? And that code words involving pizza, or pizza slices, and, I don't know, pizza parlors or whatever, and certain symbols on pizza menus were used to indicate different types of children that a person could order. Apparently you could order, I don't know, like a young boy to rape or a young girl to rape, and it was a different menu item on the pizza menu, and there were symbols. I remember one of them looked like a pyramid with like a spiral in the middle or something. And there's all kinds of different symbols. I mean, there's a whole ecosystem of this, by the way. I know it sounds shocking, but again, the Wall Street Journal has now covered this, so we're going to get to that. But there is, in fact, a nefarious, horrific, and yet thriving economy in America right now where people can order children to rape. And those children are brought to them, delivered to them for the raping. And then those people pay up, I don't know. I remember there was one online retailer that was selling, I'm not going to name the name, you probably can remember, but they were selling custom bookshelves, right? Remember that? And the bookshelves were $10,000 or something, and they had names that sounded like children's names. Yeah, and they were like third-party vendors where you order the $10,000 bookshelf, you pay online, and then, you know, the vendor delivers the bookshelf to your door, like curbside service, except, of course, it's not a bookshelf. It's a little boy or a little girl or whatever these people are ordering up. So here's a tweet about this from Jack Posobiec. A breaking Instagram algorithm exposed promoting pedophile networks in massive investigation. Video sales, preteen sex menus, in-person meetups with underage boys and girls using emojis such as a map and cheese pizza. That's from the Wall Street Journal. Again, cheese pizza. So it looks like it wasn't a conspiracy theory after all. From the Wall Street Journal itself, and let's see if I can bring up the Wall Street Journal headline. Here it is. Instagram connects vast pedophile network. All right. So from the Wall Street Journal, it says, quote, the pedophile accounts on Instagram mix brazenness with superficial efforts to veil their activity. Researchers found certain emojis function as a kind of code. This is exactly what we were talking about. Such as an image of a map. Oh, shorthand for minor attracted person. Okay. So MAP, minor attracted person, spells out the word map. So they use an icon of a map. Understand? Okay. Now it makes sense. Or one of cheese pizza, which shares its initials with child pornography. Okay. Now it's starting to make sense. So cheese pizza is CP, which is child pornography. This is according to Levine of University of Massachusetts. Many declare themselves lovers of the little things in life. Uh-huh. Yeah. What do you think they're talking about? Yeah. They're talking about maps and cheese pizza. Okay. So Darren Beatty from Revolver.News reports, this bombshell Wall Street Journal piece has rocked social media. As if so-called leaders like Mark Zuckerberg didn't realize this was going on right under their nose. Yeah. Perhaps he was too busy trying to punish Trump supporters for posting anti-vaccine memes to notice an expansive pedo ring operating on his site. Mm-hmm. So the Washington Examiner reports that Instagram has taken down 27 child pornography networks and intends to remove more. You notice how all the platforms that are run by big tech that have all these emojis? You notice where you can't have emojis that are like pro-Second Amendment or pro-Christianity, things like that, but you can always have emojis that are pedophile symbols? Cheese pizza, maps, I wonder what else? Who knows? Cheese. Pepperoni pizza, I don't know. Twitter is also a standard tool for promoting child pornography, Stanford said. But the platform is more aggressive in removing those accounts than is Instagram. Let's see, the platform is struggling to keep up with child pornography accounts, according to the February New York Times report, testing the website's content moderation efforts. So it's no longer conspiracy theory, is it, huh? It's an actual fact. This widely known, quote, conspiracy was unfolding every day, says Revolver.News, and no one took any action to stop it. It's mind-boggling to think about what could have happened if those left-wing officials who quickly dismissed Pizzagate as a hoax had actually paid attention to the, quote, conspiracy theorists 6 years ago. Just imagine the countless children they could have saved from trauma. But, of course, Darren, and you know this, they don't want to save those children from trauma. Because the left-wing officials that you refer to, they are the ones raping the children. They need their cheese pizza, right? Because that's who they are. Demons, child rapists, child mutilators, lunatics. So mark that down as another conspiracy theory that has become a conspiracy fact. There's a lot of those lately, have you noticed? A whole lot of those. All kinds of things like the lab leak theory for COVID, or the fact that vaccines are killing people. Yeah. You know, if you have one of those left-wing relatives or friends that thought you were crazy when you warned them about Pizzagate, or you warned them about the vaccines, or you warned them about COVID as a bioweapon or whatever, and they thought you were crazy, those people, well, a lot of them are dead now, by the way, because they took the jab and they died. Some of them are stroke victims, sadly. Some of them are paralyzed. A lot of them are hospitalized. And a few of them have awakened to the truth about what's going on. But sadly, most of them have not. And they are all on board with the climate cult. All right, so let's go ahead and dig into the story about one sausage per month, according to the German Nutrition Society. And this comes from whatsupwiththat.com. Well, actually from Climate Depot. Only one sausage per month for everyone. So from the German daily newspaper Bild, B-I-L-D, says that even if the German people cut their meat consumption in half, it would only bring Germany one percentage point closer to its climate goals. says overall meat consumption in the population is too high for health and sustainability reasons. The German Nutrition Society recommends reducing meat consumption to 10 grams per day per person to combat global warming. So this is about taking away protein. You know, because protein is what you need to survive. If you have no protein, you will die. So right now, the average meat consumption in Germany is 109 grams per day. Which, that's quite a lot of meat, by the way. But they want to cut it to 10 grams per day, so it's over a 90% cut. And livestock is being reduced on German farms by 50% with, you know, just outlawing farms and killing all the cows. The Irish government seeks to sacrifice 300,000 cows to reach its net zero climate goals. And the German Nutrition Society wants people to have no protein. So, let's see. General manager of the Meat Association in Germany, Heike Harstick, says even in Germany, many people are already undersupplied with certain nutrients such as iron or vitamin B12. If the new nutritional recommendations presented were to remain and such a drastic reduction in animal-based foods recommended, the deficiency would increase. So there's a battle over meat consumption, and they're going to starve everybody out. So this is, of course, it's hitting Europe first. They're going to starve out the Europeans, and then they'll starve out North Americans as well. That's what's next, while bringing in replacement migrants across the open border. Now, speaking of migrants and the open border, New York City Mayor Eric Adams, according to the New York Post, floats the idea of New Yorkers housing migrants in their private residences. So, you know how a couple of weeks ago we said that 50% of the hotel rooms in New York City are already taken up by illegal aliens, that New York City is just trying to put anywhere they can. And they're not even dealing with that many illegals, by the way. You should come to Texas sometime if you really want to see what's going on. But whatever illegals make it to New York City, it's, again, not even that many, but it's already taken up half the hotel rooms. So Eric Adams says that people in New York City should start taking in the illegal aliens into their private homes. And then the city would pay homeowners some sort of compensation to take in the illegals. Okay? All right? So here's what the mayor says. Now, by the way, you know how this is going to go, right? So the illegal alien will move into the house and then they'll kill the homeowner and then they'll just take it over. Just kill the homeowner, you know, with a steak knife or whatever. And then, oh, it's our house here now. We're here. Here we are. It's our house. We're the squatters. And they'll never be evicted because of the anti-eviction laws in New York City, by the way. So if you want to be murdered by an illegal alien, go ahead and just bring some random illegal into your home. And yeah, give them the keys and see what happens. Eric Adams says there are residents who are suffering right now because of economic challenges. They have spare rooms. So he's saying that they could pay. They're paying churches a nightly rate of $125 for each illegal alien to shelter them in the churches. So I don't know. Are they going to? How much would they pay a homeowner? Maybe not that much. Maybe $50 a night, $75 a night. I don't know. So this is how they're getting migrants to replace you. they're going to just take over your homes and your churches and your cities and your country and your culture and your language, and you have no country, you will be replaced. And don't forget, of course, if you have a child in America, the child has to be fully vaccinated in order to attend public school. But the illegal alien children don't need any vaccinations whatsoever. We've covered that story. If you're an illegal, none of the rules apply to you. You don't need a driver's license. You don't need insurance on the road. You don't. In fact, they're just going to give you everything. Free insurance, free phones, free hotel rooms, luxury hotels, free room and board. Your children don't need to be vaccinated. You don't need to be vaccinated because obviously they want the replacement migrants to be able to have children to further replace the American people. But if you're an American, you have to take the depopulation jab and you have to pay taxes and buy insurance and pay for everything, because you're the American. How dare you say no to your country being invaded and overrun? And then also in New York City, by the way, there's now a safe drug vending machine that hands out Narcan and fentanyl strips and condoms and crack pipes. But the safe drug vending machine was ransacked by residents in the first 24 hours and ran out of a lot of things. This is according to the UK Daily Mail. The machine's contents are free for residents who punch in the correct zip code. So all you have to do is remember 5 digits. They offer safe smoking kits with crack pipes, lip balm, and mouthpieces. You wouldn't want to have chapped lips while you smoke a crack, because that would be crazy. Unveiled yesterday, all the crack pipes had been taken by Tuesday morning. Crack pipes, free crack pipes. Again, don't tell Hunter Biden. Wow. So, free Narcan, an overdose-reversing drug. But eager city officials determined to keep residents in rich supply of crack pipes were quick to revisit the site with more inventory. So, Ilan Kwashi, the opioid overdose program director, there's a title for you, says, quote, "We're going to restock every day, probably multiple times a day. People need they crack pipes, right? I kind of knew that they would go," she says, or he said. Sorry, it's a he. So in America, the government doesn't give out vitamin D. The government doesn't give out nutrition or ivermectin or things that could save lives. No, it hands out crack pipes. Because this is America. While allowing a pedophile cheese pizza network to run on a major big tech platform that the government uses to censor truth as it is uttered by the American people. So there you go. I never knew cheese pizza was CP. And I always wonder what was the pizza in Pizzagate all about? So now we know. Along those lines, by the way, there's something I forgot to mention that I had a conversation with Steve Quayle the other day, and I said, "Steve, we're really in a war with Satan here, aren't we? The satanic forces are hard at work destroying everything in society, and they're rising up, they're in the streets, everything. And, so many people are dying, so many horrible things are happening." And Steve said, "Well, actually, Mike, that's not all Satan's work. Part of what you're seeing right now is actually God's wrath, that America has become the enemy of God." That's what Steve was explaining to me. And that as a result, God's wrath has been unleashed against the United States of America, and that America will fall unless and until it returns to God. But given that America is the abortion capital of the world, and that New York City is the abortion capital of America, by the way. And in New York City, you can murder a baby and you can get free crack pipes, but you can't misgender a person who believes they're, a fairy, like a neutered fairy or something. But God's wrath is going to continue to be unleashed in terms of plagues, pestilence, crop failures, psychopathy, social unrest, madness. Have you noticed the madness factor in society today? People are freaking insane, losing it. And that's no coincidence. Because, well, when people turn to Satan, they lose their minds, they lose their rationality. So everywhere you look across society right now, in almost every sector, I don't know if you've noticed this, in banking and finance, in government, in media, in academia, in science, even in the crypto communities, people are insane. Losing their minds, insane. And I've never seen this much insanity all at once. You know, we've all seen an occasional crazy person walking down the street, but now some big segment of society is just crazy people. Like, you know, bat bleep crazy every single day. It's off the charts. So how do we navigate that? And how do we do our best to play our role in helping to keep humanity free? So I've got an update for you here next. Well, you know what? Actually, let's do this. I want to play the Dr. Ed Group video right here next. It's an interview that we just filmed in the studio. I think you'll like that. And then on the other side of that, I'm going to play for you a 25-minute or so update about what I'm doing in the crypto space to try to create freedom for people using our platforms so that they can tip each other in cryptocurrency. They could spend cryptocurrency. They could earn cryptocurrency and, you know, essentially be part of the cryptocurrency community and get out of the fiat currency banking system. Oh, but that reminds me, I do need to comment about Coinbase and Binance and the SEC. Let me do that, and then we'll go to the Ed Group interview. But it's very clear now the fiat currency banking system understands the threat, the existential threat that cryptocurrency poses to the fiat currency banking system. And so they're now pulling out all the stops to try to pull the plug on the crypto ecosystem, and they're going to try to obliterate it. And this is why they've declared war on any kind of centralized platform that they can target, which is Binance and Coinbase. Here's the good news in this. Now, they may clobber these platforms in the United States. They may take them out of commission in the U.S. They may cause some temporary decline in the value of crypto, including Bitcoin or others. But this will actually force more people to move into a decentralized peer-to-peer structure for engaging in these financial transactions, which was the original vision of Bitcoin and, you know, most cryptocurrencies. It was about decentralization. So really, all the government doing by attacking these centralized exchanges is they're clobbering the centralized entities that probably aren't the best part of the ecosystem anyway. And it's only going to encourage people to use crypto in a more decentralized manner, which is overall healthier for the entire system. The other thing is that anybody can get a VPN account and they can get an IP address in a different country, and they can just log on to, you know, Binance International or whatever, and they can go ahead and do everything over a VPN so it doesn't look like they're in the United States. People can do that right now. People do it all the time. You know, there are lots of exchanges that don't function in the U.S., like Gate.io, I believe, is one of them. Well, how do you use Gate.io? You use an IP address from a different country. Now, will the government one day criminalize that kind of thing? I don't know, but it would sure be hard to enforce, wouldn't it? Is this going to become communist China where you're not even allowed to run a VPN? You know, are they going to get that desperate? Maybe. But they can't destroy the crypto itself. They can't destroy Bitcoin. They can only attack the corporation, in the case of Coinbase, a publicly traded corporation that the SEC actually approved when it first launched, by the way, and that now they're saying it's illegal, which is kind of like the ATF originally saying that arm braces are fine, perfectly legal, buy all you want. And then later on, the ATF saying, oh, no, wait a minute, you're a felon. Right? So this is broad overreach by multiple government agencies, SEC, ATF, FDA, you know, you name it, EPA. But they won't be able to kill Bitcoin, will they? So people will still be able to use Bitcoin or run nodes, run wallets, trade with each other. And frankly, it's going to be impossible for the governments of the world to shut that down. And the same is true for other coins. So in effect, by declaring war on Binance and Coinbase, the SEC is accelerating the adoption of a peer-to-peer crypto structure by all the people around the world who want to get out of the fiat currency banking system and into something that they control, where you're not limited by the bank manager who wants to interrogate you, like, why do you need your money? Why are you taking out this much cash? Why are you wiring this much money to whoever? You know, you can tell them to go pound sand and just run your own wallet, and then you control it. I guess until there's a rug pull, and then all your crypto becomes worthless. That seems to happen a lot in the crypto space. But, you know, it's not all roses. Let's be clear, right? But it is maturing more. I mean, the dollar is going to collapse. The dollar is going to zero. So there's a rug pull. You want to talk about a rug pull? How about the central bank printing fiat currency for generations and then making it go to zero? The Great Reset. That's the ultimate global rug pull. You know, financial reset. It's like, oh, suddenly your money's worth nothing. Oh, shazam. There you go. So just keep all that in mind. The collapse is engineered, just like Building 7. Mm-hmm. And, you know, speaking of the collapse, by the way, real quick plug for our sponsor. Don't forget about the satellite phone store. If your backup communication system for when the power grid goes down, you're going to need a way to communicate. You have two-way satellite text messaging with the Bivy sticks and satellite phone capability with the various satellite phones. They're all made very affordable by the satellite phone store. It's just combined into a monthly fee. You don't have to pay an upfront big amount for a sat phone. You get the phone for free on typically a 12-month contract. You just pay per month. Anyway, check them out at sat123.com. SAT123.com. And they also have solar panels and solar generators, power stations that can help keep you online when the power grid goes down. So something worth checking out. All right, coming up next right here is the full studio interview with Dr. Ed Group from Global Healing Center. Enjoy, and I'll be back with you on the other side of that for my cryptocurrency platform update. So stay tuned. Welcome to today's interview on Brighteon.com. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon, and I'm joined in studio today by none other than Dr. Edward Group from Global Healing Center.
Thank you, Mike. Welcome. We've known each other for a long time, and it's always a blast when we get together.
It really is, and I'm so excited to get to show you our studio and our facility and everything today. I gave Dr. Group like the full tour of our facility. What would you think, by the way?
I tell you what, I am so impressed. I've toured so many contract manufacturers and manufacturing facilities, and yours is right up there. I mean, ours is every little detail we pay attention to, from having no plastic tubing to anything. And I was literally blown away with your facility over here.
Yeah.
I mean, Mike is doing everything that you should do in a manufacturing facility, as far as quality, as far as taking care of the workforce, as far as, you know, making sure everything's clean.
Epoxy
amazing
floors.
Amazing.
You see all the FRP
epoxy
walls.
Yep. FRP walls, epoxy flooring, yep. VOC-free epoxy flooring.
Yep. Yeah.
I'm super impressed. And for me to say that I'm super impressed,
I know, that's
for
a manufacturing,
you have a
very high
facility
standard, yeah.
Is, yeah, I'm the mad scientist. I every single detail has to be looked at. And I mean, I was blown away.
This is one of the reasons why we are really happy to partner with you. And that's one of the announcements we want to share with the public today. But I would say your manufacturing, your attention to detail is top in the world. Nobody does the triple distillation that you do, just to get the water to make the tinctures and things like that. Nobody does the extraction techniques that you do for your tinctures. And I know there are other things, you know, sound healing approaches, other things. Maybe you want to talk about some of that at this point, but we are here to partner with you to bring our audience, you know, the best of your world, which is potency, extraction efficiency,
combined with our laboratory testing, right? Heavy metals, glyphosate, E. coli, microbiology, and soon dioxin testing. So we're going to be introducing together the world's most high-end extraction with the world's most comprehensive clean food testing for a product line together.
I tell you, I couldn't be more excited about it. We, you know, really, me being a mad scientist, I'm always looking for different ways to innovate. And in our industry, Mike, there has not been rapid delivery innovation and absorption and bioavailability innovations in, you know, 50, 60 years. You still end up with liposomal or lipospheric, and the more research that I've done into that is really a big fraud in our industry, because nobody is, basically what they're doing is they're putting sunflower lecithin in their product and they're calling it lipospheric or liposomal. Right. Yeah, so we're really excited to work with you, and we're really excited to help launch, for you to help us support the launch of our new AGT technology, which is acoustic glycerosomal technology. And this is very similar to what a big pharma has been doing, especially even now with the mRNA technology, of using a lipid substance to create a rapid delivery system. Except what we figured out how to do it using sound and frequency, and be able to wrap the nutrients of the plant in what we call a glycerosome. And a glycerosome is 30 to 50% more bioavailable in rapid delivery than liposomal. So right now in our industry, the highest you can go would be liposomal, even though I think most of it is fake. What we're doing is we're launching a acoustic glycerosomal technology. Now, what Big Pharma and what all these other companies are doing with their liposomal technology is they use lots of toxic chemicals for the extraction. They use different types of heat. They use microwave energy. They use different types of frequencies. What the beautiful thing about what we've developed is that we've done it all cold processing with zero chemicals. So we've actually figured out how to create glycerosomes using no chemicals, no heat, and do it in a way using acoustics, sound waves. If you look back at the ancient Tibetan, there's one video that's out there that shows them lifting a 2-ton rock 200 feet in the air using acoustics with different types of sound frequencies and vibrations.
Yeah, I mean, this gets into cymatics. You can create structure out of sound.
Exactly. And it's very important that what we do is we start with the proper materials too. And that's when we use the basis from Paracelsus in the 1600s when he's working with alchemy. And the great alchemists would really focus on themselves when they produce a product. We're spending lots of time in meditation and lots of time raising their own vibrations, because the vibrations of the people that are making the products, that's why I also meditate every single morning over all of our products and put love and energy and vibration into them, because you can do that at long distance. It's very important, and that's why we start with the triple distilled water, which was the only water the alchemists would use, because the water changes structure and function at the third, the sixth, the ninth distillation in multiples of three. And actually, really, our distillation systems distill the water 18 times, but we have three distillation systems, and each distillation system goes through six chambers.
Oh, is that right?
So it's really eight, since we have three chambers, we say triple distilled, but in reality, it's really 18x distilled water.
Wow, that's, it's, wow.
Water is an incredible substance, and what we found is that when you distill water to that degree, water becomes a very hungry water, and it's able to absorb light and sound frequencies. So after we distill it, we run it through different types of systems to infuse the full spectrum of light into it, and then we run it through systems, a biophotonic structuring system, and then we run it through a special type of alchemical-based structuring and energizing type system. So that's the base that we use.
See, that's what's fascinating, because I'm not aware of anybody else that's doing it like that in the world. And also, I have a question for you about that, deuterium or D2O instead of H2O. There's been a lot of talk over the years, I know you're familiar with this, of if you could get the deuterium out of your water, which is only present at 120 parts per million or something like that, that the it would be healthier for your cells. Does your distillation process deal at all with deuterium removal?
Yeah, so that's a subject that I've looked into, and I'm not 100% sure about the, because what we can do also is we can change the molecular structure of things.
Yeah.
And it might not be a toxic anymore per se, but it might be a signaling like a homeopathic that could actually create your body to seek that out and eliminate it. And we know that that process is effective with studying individuals that have been utilizing urine, for example, where you can test and you can see heavy metals and stuff in your urine. Well, talking to many scientists, especially over in India, they'll say that those are just conjugated fragments. And how it works is it goes back into your system and it signals your body to release more. And there's never been a case that I've ever been able to see where someone has had metals in their body and then started drinking their urine and their metals have gone up. It's just the opposite. Their metals start going down, 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 down. So with deuterium, we have distilled water 18 times on purpose and then sent it out for deuterium testing, and there's still deuterium in it. Smaller levels, like maybe 20 to 40 parts per million. But that just goes to show you that that's extremely hard to get to get out.
It is.
And
yeah.
And I also think that, you know, there's a big, there's like a lot of controversy right now, and people are really scared about our water systems being contaminated. you know, what is the right water filter? And I was contacted by somebody the other day, and they said, look, you've been doing research on water for 30 years. What is the best water system that I can, that we can promote to get the all this stuff out of the water? And I said, there is no water filtration system that's going to get everything out of the water. There's just no way, because think about all the hundreds of thousands of pesticides, insecticide residues, who knows, you know, nuclear-based residues that could be in the water, different types of energy signatures that can be in the water. And that's why I always go back to distilled water, because distilled water is going to take out the majority of all of those contaminants, glyphosate, atrazine, all that stuff. And it's just safest water that you can be drinking. And that's why I recommend everybody. I said, look, you can do all the research you want and try to find a water filter that's going to take everything out, but we don't even know how to test for thousands of different substances.
For a lot of those things, yeah. But by the way, actually, I just filmed yesterday in the studio. You know, we tested cesium removal of dozens of kind of off-the-shelf water filters, the gravity filters. And this is because of cesium-137, you know, which is deadly in a nuclear fallout event. And it mimics potassium, by the way, in all the pathways of the body. So you can imagine if you replace your potassium with radioactive cesium, life's not going to be very good for you. But we tested all these filters, and frankly, most of them did not do very well. But we found six that did 99.98% or better removal. And a couple of those six were pretty low-cost filters, and the other four were more higher-end filters. One of them was the Zen water filter system. I don't know if you've heard about that, that has a multi-element column in it. Who knows what all's in there? But you're right. No water filter takes out everything. And you were asking me earlier about, have we tested filters for glyphosate removal? And I don't believe that we have done that test. And if we did, I don't think that these filters would do very well, because glyphosate moves through everything. It's a tiny molecule. It penetrates. It penetrates cells in your body, you know? And I think it just goes right through carbon block filters. It just goes right through them.
Yeah, and I'm not against water filtration to have in your house.
Sure,
at all.
Yeah.
I don't
no,
want
it
people
serves
to
a,
think that.
A purpose.
You know, anything you can filter out, or if you can filter out 90% of some, that's great. It's still a lot better than what you've been drinking.
Absolutely.
However, we have nanotechnology right now that's being sprayed on us. We have mRNA technology. We have people that are going to the bathroom that have this in their systems. And so, you know, when people ask me, well, what is the cleanest water that I can drink? I say, well, you can get a distillation system online for $300 that does 4 gallons a day of distilled water. You know, that's a subject that I've been researching, and because only nature produces distilled water. That's why the ancient cultures used rain. They had fog nets, actually, that they would make in the valleys, and they would collect the fog when it came through, and it would all leak down into uh-huh. these cisterns.
Right.
And that's the only water they would drink. Very rarely would they drink water from creeks or from wells or anything like that, because it's too high in inorganic minerals.
Absolutely.
And ultimately, that's a whole nother conspiracy that we can go down, is how we've been deceived about the type of water that we've been drinking. Ultimately, we should be drinking 80% distilled water and only a small amount of spring water or anything that's has lots of inorganic minerals. And the reason why is they know that they are purposely turning us to stone. If you look at the amount
right.
of organic minerals versus inorganic minerals that we consume, the average human consumes, 95% of the minerals the average human consumes are inorganic minerals. They're not eating fruits and vegetables and live foods all day long.
No, they're having the breakfast cereal that has iron shavings literally put in it, like these wheat flake cereals or corn flake cereals, and they'll put iron shavings in it to say that they meet the iron requirement for the USRDA. And I've actually taken this. You can just take a box of cereal, put it in a bowl with water, just make it all wet and mushy, and then just take a powerful magnet and you can pull the iron filings right out of the cereal. I mean, there's videos of that all over, but it's true. It's true. And you're like, oh my gosh, they just dropped iron filings into this cereal. Which, you know, I have goats. Goats do pretty well with inorganic minerals because they have, you know, multiple stomachs and very strong digestion. Humans don't. You eat all these inorganic, or you drink them, all these inorganic minerals, it's like you said, you start to turn to stone.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, they did autopsies really from 1860 to 1920. There was so much research on all the different types of healing modalities. It's all been burned out and suppressed. But there were lots of studies of even people that were drinking spring water that had autopsies, and they had petrified organs because they had so many inorganic minerals.
Petrified organs.
And so that's that's why they're literally turning us to stone and calcifying our bodies over time. And what eliminates that is distilled water. Distilled water, if you start drinking, you start eating fruits and vegetables that contain high levels of distilled water, you start drinking rainwater, that's what's going to detoxify you and start pulling all these inorganic minerals out of your system.
Yep.
So it's very important, and that's why I recommend. If you want to remineralize distilled water, squeeze a fresh lemon into it. That's organic minerals in a fresh organic lemon.
Right.
Put a little organic raw apple cider vinegar in there. That's going to put organic minerals in there.
Exactly.
And the reason why your animals are able to do that and we're not is because we have two ways to break down inorganic minerals. The first way is the hydrochloric acid in our stomach, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. You've seen all the research that's come out over the last 20 years where they project like 98% of the population is very low in hydrochloric acid because
True.
We burned it out with all the, you know, soft drinks that we're drinking
Absolutely.
And alcohol that we're drinking.
The phosphoric acid, yeah.
So most people on the planet are not able to break down the inorganic minerals in their stomach. And the second way that we break it down is in the liver. Well, we did a study a couple years ago, and I still today think that probably 99% of the population on the planet's liver is only functioning at 15 to 20%.
Wow.
Oh, look at the studies with fatty livers in kids now 1 year old. It means the cirrhosis of the liver. You just think about all the parasites that go in the liver, all of the chemicals, all the toxins that we're exposed to.
Yeah.
The liver is like the major organ for me that I've, you know, done so much research on Really, it is the detoxification organ. The skin, obviously, is the biggest detoxification organ, but the liver is vital to be able to break all these things down.
But correct me if I'm wrong, Ed, but you know, I sometimes hear people complain about all the toxins that are being sprayed on us, you know, chemtrails and things like that, and of course the 5G towers, electromagnetic pollution. But then, at the same time, I still meet people who are covered in like fragrance laundry detergent in their clothes, and they're using the dryer sheets, and they're using the shampoo that I can smell 50 feet away, and they're coating their bodies in poison and then claiming that they're being chemtrailed. I'm like, well, wait a minute, you're chemtrailing yourself every day. out of the shower, you know? I mean, you get out of the shower, you're chemtrailing yourself. So maybe shouldn't you get the chemicals out of the things that you can control as a starting point?
So you and I have basically figured out the root cause of disease 20-something years ago, which is the root cause of all disease and all symptoms that you may have are nothing more than a toxic external environment and a toxic internal environment. That's mm-hmm. it. Every single condition comes down to really more or less poisoning and parasites is what my conclusion is. Because I always like try to simplify everything for everybody, but you're exactly right. What are the toxins in the external environment? Well, you could have a toxic boss. You could be in a toxic relationship. People can be parasites and draw energy from you. What are you watching on TV? You know, the mold in your house. I mean, you know, we did that show. We identified all kinds of chemicals and toxins in your external environment, from your bedroom to your bathroom to your kitchen.
Totally.
You know, go watch that show. We talk about all that. It's an accumulation. And then all the things that you're putting on your body and in your body.
That's what's incredible to me.
It's just like people are, what's incredible to me is like, it's so simple when you understand that everything is poisoning and parasites, but yet you have so many doctors out there and so many naturopathic doctors and people that are really, you know, trying to do good things, but they're missing the most vital step, which is detoxifying your home, detoxifying your external environment, and detoxifying your internal environment. And that's going to be very simple, of detoxifying and healing your gut, doing multiple detoxifications of your liver, getting rid of all the parasites in the body, which is another mm-hmm. subject I'd like to talk to you about, of some recent findings that we've had.
How about just being willing to sweat?
To sweat.
I mean,
exactly.
I'm so shocked to hear people that are afraid to sweat, even here in Texas. You know, because I'm outside every day. I'm taking care of animals, and you know, I'm walking around. I'm moving bags of grain. I'm feeding the chickens, whatever, right? And you get outside in Texas this time of year, you're going to sweat, right? It's a normal thing. But there are people who are so afraid to sweat that they'll spend all their time indoors in air conditioning, and they won't go outside. They just go from the house to the air-conditioned car, and from the car to the air-conditioned, you know, shopping store or whatever, or church, and it's air-conditioned. And they're afraid to sweat because they just don't want to feel sweaty. If you don't sweat, you're never going to get rid of a lot of toxins.
The fastest way to get rid of toxins in your body is through sweating. There's no other way to do it. I mean, you really need to sweat. That's what we were designed to do.
We were
designed to push that stuff out through our skin, which is the largest detoxification organ we have. You know, men have four ways to eliminate chemicals and toxins from their body. Really, they have three, is what I've learned lately, which is defecation, respiration, and sweating, diaphoresis of the skin. I used to think urine was a toxic elimination route. To a certain degree, you do eliminate, but it's not what I found out is it's not actually toxic. It's sterile. There are fragments of things in there, but it's not toxic. It's not a poison. You could, you know, there's people that drink all their urine all day long for 40 years that I've talked to, and they have zero poisoning. So it's not poisonous, which we've led to believe it is. And women have five ways to eliminate, which is their menstrual cycle. So, but the skin, there's no doubt, is the largest pathway of detoxification. And then not only that, but they've made us believe, especially the women, that they need to slather more chemicals on their skin to look good.
I know.
If you pick up any skincare product, it has 50 cancer-causing agents in it, and they convinced us all to lather sunblock on our skins to suppress our vitamin D production, which is a major immune system modulator.
Totally.
So it's just like...
Yeah,
it's crazy.
But this is getting back to what we're doing here together. Yeah. Like, this is why it's critical to have clean products that we're taking in. So here's an example. This is one of the first products we're doing together. Elderberry and echinacea. This is a glycerin-based tincture, and it's quite delicious, by the way, and also very potent. Can you talk to us about what goes into the extraction process of these two primary ingredients?
Yeah, absolutely. So first of all, we start with scouring, just like you do, scouring the world to try to find the cleanest, freshest ingredients. And folks, let me tell you, there's when you really start getting into that, it is extremely difficult. So we'll try to find six sources. We'll bring them all in. We'll test the color, the taste, the run them through different types of testing, chemical testing, heavy metal testing, contamination testing, microbial testing. The one thing that we don't do, and you don't do, that many other manufacturing facilities do, is they sterilize their raw materials when they come into the facility. I just don't get it.
I know, they irradiate everything.
And by the way, if you're taking supplements from any company, call the company up and ask them if they're NSF certified. 90% of these supplement companies are NSF certified. And I did not even know this, Mike. We called NSF because NSF is one of the processes that you have to get to become TGA certified. TGA certification is like the highest certification you can get. It's the Australian certification. But in order to do that, I think there's only like two facilities in the United States that are TGA certified. Once you're TGA certified, you can sell throughout Australia and everywhere else. And so we wanted to do that and say, thinking, oh yeah, the more certifications that we're gonna have, the better it's gonna be. So I spent $85,000 going through the NSF certification. They came into our facility and they were like, this is the cleanest facility we've ever seen. I mean, the attention to detail you guys have is just incredible. I mean, we don't use any plastic tubing in our whole facility. We use silicone platinum so it doesn't impart negative frequencies or energies, because we don't even want the plastic imparting the energy of plastic in there.
Right.
And so they said, you passed with flying colors, except there's two things that we would like you to do. Number one, it's not a requirement, but most of our contract manufacturers that are NSF certified are doing this, and that's sterilize your raw materials before you put them into your warehouse. And I'm thinking, sterilize the raw materials? Are you kidding me? I'm like, what are they using to do that? And they said, well, most of them use microwave energy to do that,
right?
Or they use steam distillation. So you're either gonna kill all the, you know, the vital nutrients that are in the plants both of those ways. And I said, well, there's no way. Why would we do that? There's no way. We wanna preserve all the life forms. Mm-hmm. We wanna preserve all the natural energy in there, because
the molecules can be destroyed by microwave energy.
And even sometimes we'll get raw materials in that have total plate counts in the millions, like the, you know, 20 million total plate count. And we're like, that is good. We want those soil-based microorganisms
if they're friendly,
if they're not coliform, right, or if they're not E. coli, or if they're, you know, if they're friendly, those are the good bacteria from the soil that you really want in there.
Right.
So then they said, okay, well, we can let you slide on that because it's not a requirement, but there is a requirement that you have to perform metal testing at the end of your finished goods line. And I said, okay, well, what is that all about? Well, just to make sure there's no metal shavings from any of your equipment. I said, well, we use for all of our liquids, we use all glass vessels for our processing. You know, we use 200 liter borosilicate glass vessels that the herbs spin in. We don't use any metal, so they don't touch metal. So, you know, there's not going to be any metal in any of our products. It doesn't matter. It's a requirement for NSF that you have to have a metal detection system on the end of your finished goods line. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, this is a huge scam. They're trying to kill all the life force and the therapeutic
in order to get certified.
Ability to get certified. And I said, okay, so what are the two types of metal detection systems that everybody's using? So they gave me a list of the two metal detection systems. One of them, I looked it up online, one of them is exactly like the body scanners that you go through in the airport. It's a millimeter wave. So it literally completely bombards and changes the molecular structure of all and kills all the life force and the energy of your product.
Right.
And the second one is just an old school, like microwave, like putting your product in the microwave oven. It's like a microwave frequency that just blasts your product with microwave energy.
What to see? How does that detect metals?
They just have a way to do it through like X-wave microwave frequencies. I don't know.
Oh,
I
mean, it's kind of like an X-ray, but using
it's kind of like an X-ray with different types of frequencies. It doesn't matter. Both of them You know, I looked up the frequencies that they were using, and both of them, one of them was in the millimeter wave, and one was like X-ray microwave. So
to get certified,
that means like all the supplement companies out there that are NSF certified are literally killing the vibration and the life force of your product. And that, to me, studying the alchemy, I know how important it is, because Paracelsus he developed the spagyric process of separating and recombining and bringing the plant back to life through the salts of the plant. And so that's very important. That's why we use the Ormus energized minerals in our products to be able to produce that life force. And we started the first quantum biology laboratory ever in the nutraceutical industry, and hired Dr. Glenn Ryan, who's the famous quantum biologist and the most famous quantum biologist in the world.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one that did all the testing for Sandra Michaels stuff and any type of quantum type scalar wave technology. And he's been running our quantum energy laboratory, and we're constantly trying to improve. You might see elderberry and echinacea on here. And this is something that I think everybody should know, and Mike knows this already. I could buy organic elderberry for $2 a pound, but it might have sat in a China warehouse for a year, and it's brown, and it doesn't have any therapeutic left to it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have any aromatics. And we try as best as we can to preserve the aromatics of the plant. Those are really, really powerful. That's
and,
what
and
they
delicate.
Extract as the essential oils, and they're very delicate.
Yep.
They oxidize.
Yep.
But what we do is we'll choose the $20 a pound elderberry. Now, for a consumer, you would never know, because it says elderberry and echinacea organic. But for people like you and I, we know how important it is to get the therapeutic value in there. And we are not publicly traded companies. We're private, so we can spend the extra money to make sure that the quality is there. And we want to, really, it's the vibration and the life force of these plants. Of course, the components of the plants have really powerful healing properties to them, too. But when a living substance is living, you can measure its life force and you can measure its energy. And so we test all these with Curlian photography, and we have videos of all this. I don't know if you've seen those that I've
seen some of them,
I'll definitely send those over. We're continually working with... there's a scientist, Kortikov, in Russia, who's one of the leading scientists in the world working on testing vibrations and energy. And so that's kind of a project that we have going on. Now, the new product that we're going to be working with you on is the acoustic glycerosomal technology. And I'm super excited about that. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the potency and the vibration and the therapeutic value of this probably going up about 200 times. That's how powerful it is, because what we're doing is we're taking the solution and we're using certain acoustic sound waves to cavitate and levitate even. You know, you've seen the videos of using sound to levitate ping pong balls and stuff like that. Sound is very, very powerful, and acoustics are very powerful. And in the Tibetan and in the Himalayas, they use that all the time to move things around. Even the building the pyramids, there's people that say that those were built with acoustics and sound. And so we're able to, we figured out a way to do this all in a cold processing, all in glass vessels, to be able to expose the herbs to an acoustic, a broad range of acoustic sound waves that will create a cavitation and a levitation. And not only that, it'll levitate into the solution, and then we have a proprietary mixture of the certified organic vegetable glycerin with a certain percentage of organic avocado oil and a certain percentage of ice-pressed olive oil. And we can create what we call a glycerosome. And this is in the nano range, and all of the therapeutic nutrients are concentrated in the glycerosome. Now, what does that mean? That means it's a rapid delivery. You're not going to get a degradation in the stomach acid, which nobody really has stomach acid anyway. And it can go into the mitochondria of the cell. It can cross the blood-brain barrier. So it's a rapid delivery, but it's also, even with herbs and foods and stuff, most of the time people are really not absorbing and utilizing a lot of the minerals and the nutrients that are in there. With this technology, you're going to be able to get close to over 99% bioavailability and absorption.
See, that's extraordinary. And this is one of the reasons why we wanted to partner with you on this. And we're going to be rolling out you know, an expanded line with you, and that's why I appreciate you coming in here and sharing this with me. But just to add to something you said about the raw materials, we've seen in this industry exactly what you described, where there are sometimes raw material wholesalers that are trying to dump a lot of something that's old or oxidized or subpar or fails heavy metals testing by European standards. So they'll ship it to America, and then they can sell it legally in the United States because the FDA and the USDA don't really require any heavy metals testing at all. And even certified organic, by the way, has no limits on metals. You know this. So we've seen a lot of cases of junk materials being sold, being pushed out there. We've had to reject a lot of lots. But we know that when we reject a lot, it just gets bought up by somebody else that sells kind of low-end supplements here in America that you end up buying at common retailers. And you think you're getting elderberry, you're getting like elder crap. I mean, you're not getting elderberry. You're getting something that once was elderberry, but is now really close to just dust or something. Yeah. You know what I mean? That is so true.
Yeah, and another thing that we're also doing and we're moving into is, and that's the same thing. Like, we've found so much contamination where they put oat grass in with something, or they'll put, when you're looking for a flower and they half of its stem in there when you take it through identity testing. Now, just like you, I'm sure, over time, we've become that company to where they said, well, we're not going to even mess with Global Healing anymore because they're going to send everything back and they're going
to, this has happened
say
to us
something
too,
about it. So ultimately, over time, when you do that and you have such high quality standards, a lot of times we won't deal with those companies anymore right off the bat. But then your reputation becomes like, if you're going to be selling to Global, save your best stuff for them. Or if you're going to sell to Health Ranger, save your best stuff for him. But it's just, it's really discouraging when you really get into the down and dirty of our industry and see, you know, the shortcuts that the contract manufacturers use. I've heard horror stories. I've talked to people that even for an organic product company, they were using Dow anti-foaming agent to put in there when they were mixing the liquid multivitamin in a certified organic product. And the thing is, who's going to test for, like, are you going to take a product and test for 1,000 different things? How are you going to know to test for anti-foaming agent?
No, there's no way you could test for
all those
thousands.
So there's just so many,
things,
even the heavy metal testing, you just test for lead, mercury, cadmium, nickel, basically. I mean,
well,
there's so many different ones out there.
We actually do a pretty broad, because the table of elements is pretty limited. So we test for, dozens of metals, including nickel and copper and so on. But most people don't. Most people only test the top four: lead, arsenic, mercury, and and cadmium. Cadmium.
Yeah, lead, mercury. Yeah.
And out of those four, the FDA allows a total of 10 parts per million aggregate, which would be insane. If you ate 10 parts per million mercury, oh my gosh, you'd be so sick. Or even lead, you'd be poisoned. But the FDA allows that. And so most people only test for those top four. And the truth is, Ed, most companies, they don't test at all. They just rely on the certificate from the supplier.
The supplier says,
oh, somebody tested it at some point upstream. And then we've run into cases, I know you've seen this too, where the certificates are counterfeit.
We've definitely seen that. And very, now with our raw material suppliers, over years choosing and researching and finding the best ones. But even sometimes when we're looking for a new ingredient, very rarely does our testing match the results that they're providing us on their spec sheets.
We found that too. Their spec sheets just never match up to reality.
No, they'll say less than 0.01 of lead, and we'll find like 3 ppm or something in there.
Right,
it's like
right.
0.3.
Or sometimes, we've seen certificates that come in and they say, okay, less than 1 ppm lead. And then I've actually called some of these companies and I've pursued this. So what instrument was used for this? What was the detection limit of that instrument? And it turns out they use a lab that didn't even use ICP-MS. They use ICP-OES, which is optical emissions spectroscopy. And the sensitivity of the instrument stops at 1 ppm. So it's like, Oh, you're saying you can't see anything below 1 ppm and so it passes? It's like, what if it's 990 parts per billion? They wouldn't be able to see it. Because they intentionally, and this is the other thing, this is some inside baseball, but I think the readers will enjoy this, the viewers. But I've known of labs that intentionally tune their instruments to be less sensitive so that they can't detect these things. I've seen this. I mean, firsthand, I know this happens. Because I can tune my instrument to detect mercury at something like 0.4 parts per billion, which is, you know, 400 parts per trillion, right? But if you tune it incorrectly, you know, the nebulizer's off axis, there's a bunch of different ways that they can do it on purpose. They can make it so they can't even see mercury below 10 parts per million. And then they say, not detected. Not detected.
Well, what we've noticed over the last 10 years, Mike, is we've noticed a huge buy-up from private equity and venture capitalist firms that are associated with big pharma and associated with the big banking operations and BlackRock. And they're trying to consolidate even in our industry right now. And somebody told me 20 years ago, I was talking to a whistleblower from a pharmaceutical company. He said, it's already in our plans to buy up all the nutraceutical industries. We're just waiting to where it's going to be a profitable industry for us to purchase.
Yeah.
I mean, that way they own both. They own the pharma and they own all the natural products.
Right.
I know, I don't know about you, but I get at least an offer twice a week.
Do you really that often?
Twice a week I'm getting offers.
That's funny.
For our company from private equity companies and big firms that want to buy us out.
Yeah.
And you know this, most of the companies out there have been bought out already. And what happens when you sell out to a publicly traded company or you sell out to a venture capitalist firm or you sell out to a subsidiary of big pharma, which are owned by conglomerates of private equity firms?
Right.
They have a 3 to 5, they want profit. That's all they care about. They could care less about your health.
Oh no.
So immediately
they'll take out your triple distillers.
They wipe everything that you're spending money on. They go to the cheapest they can possibly do, and then they want to turn around and sell to somebody else in 3 to 5 years because they have an exit strategy. And that's what's happened to our industry.
Totally.
You know, I was talking to Greg Horn. He was the ex-CEO of GNC and a Garden of Life, actually. Greg Horn is a great guy. And he left because of that, because of his standards. And he saw what happened to these companies when they got bought out by big pharma-based companies. And he said, you know, this was about a month ago, he said, I can literally count probably on one hand the amount of companies that I would trust these days that are privately owned and operated. You, your store, me, and maybe a couple other ones that are out there that are just, because you and I think the same way. It's like, I'm going to take this.
Right.
If I'm going to take this, I want to take the best stuff in the world.
And my family members and
exactly.
friends and employees
exactly.
and so on. Yeah. So that's why this matters. But look, this is a fascinating discussion. Let's wrap up this segment and talk in another segment about something else. But I just want to say to our viewers, number one, I'm thrilled that you're here. I'm thrilled that we're partnering with you on these products. And hopefully now our viewers understand sort of the importance of the philosophy that we both share in this. It's about the cleanest, most potent, most honest, and ethical superfoods or supplements or therapeutics that are available on this planet. That's what we are committed to, and that's what we are creating here together. Again, all of your techniques combined with all of our laboratory analysis, no one has ever brought those two together with such depth as we have now. I mean, it's the best of the arts and the nutrient arts and the science of food contamination testing to make sure that everything's clean. And by the way, it's also interesting, of course, we never find anything dirty in your products. But of course, we do the testing anyway because it's trust but verify. But your products are among the cleanest that we ever see. you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard these days because of everything. The rain and organic doesn't require any type of water filtration. A lot of organic farms still use the tap water from the city to water their plants with. The soil is contaminated. All the soil-based organisms have been removed. So it's getting harder and harder to really have a super, super clean product. But that's what we do. We try to be the cleanest and the most effective therapeutic-wise products, just like you, on the planet.
Yep. Well, so you're doing a great job
choosing us, and we're excited to work with you as well.
Well, thanks for being here, and we'll chat again on other topics. But folks, healthrangerstore.com is where you can find these products that are joint formulated with Dr. Ed Group, and that's described on the various product pages, by the way. And then Global Healing Center is your company. GlobalHealingCenter.com.
GlobalHealing.com. Right? Oh, we actually finally got that domain. We've been wanting it for years, but so we dropped the center because people were like, the European spelling of center, C-E-N-T-R-E.
Oh, true, yeah.
So it was kind of confusing, and plus we just wanted to shorten it. So we finally got Global Healing. But it is Global Healing Center, but now we reduce it to Global Healing.
I just know it's GHC.
I know it's GHC.
Yeah, I know. Exactly.
It's weird. You know, now it's GH, but it's for all those years, it was GHC.
Okay, very good. All right, well, thank you for watching today. We hope you enjoyed this and learned a lot of good information. There's more coming up in other interviews with Dr. Ed Group here in studio at the Brighteon Studios in Central Texas. Thank you for watching today, and thanks, Ed, for being here.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Take care, everybody. Okay, Mike Adams here, the founder of Brighteon.com, with a crypto update about our platform. And if you are part of a crypto project and you want to be considered to be included in our platform, our ecosystem, please let me know and listen if you wish, and I'll give you an email address of how to contact us. Let me just say something right up front here, and then I'll give out a lot more details. But right up front, I want to say that we have already announced by name Monero as one of the coins that we are going to be implementing as a tipping system for Brighteon.com and also Brighteon.tv. And there are lots of applications for other platforms. I also want to be clear, I have not spoken to anybody from Monero. Nobody from Monero has successfully reached out to me. Well, maybe they've tried, but I haven't interviewed anybody from Monero, and I don't know anybody from Monero. And a friend of mine jokingly said, maybe that's the reason that you're happy to implement them, because you don't know about all the drama in all the crypto world, right? And actually, I do. I actually do know about all the drama, and I have accidentally stepped into a little bit of drama with one project, and we're still trying to see if that's going to work itself out. But I stepped into kind of some infighting that apparently is very, very common in the crypto space. So we're just trying to sort that out. But the thing is, we want to be crypto agnostic as a platform as long as they are privacy-oriented coins. Okay? So my intention is to ultimately be able to list as an option, an action option for our users, our content creators, our viewers and fans and so on, the ability to do lots of things, to take lots of different actions using many different privacy-oriented tokens. And let me put this offer out there for anyone listening who may be involved in these projects, because perhaps I didn't explain this clearly enough before. And what I found is that people actually don't believe how good this good news is. And I've actually run into some resistance because people think it's too good to be true. So here's my offer. I want to identify viable crypto projects that have privacy features. I want to, and I ask for nothing in return, other than perhaps some development integration assistance with just answering questions for our devs. So I'm not asking for any coins, not asking for any payments, you know, unlike the exchanges and so on. I'm only asking for an honestly run project or multiple projects that are run by sane people who are rational people that can have rational discussions about implementing your coins on the platforms that I control, that I own, and that we are building. There's more coming, by the way. And what we want to do is simply implement your coins. We want to give it a use case. We want to educate people about your coins. And there is no charge from me or from my companies in order to do any of this. This is not a scam. It's not payola. You don't have to pay me off or bribe me. You don't have to try to extort me. You don't have to try to threaten me. You don't have to do anything except just help us help you implement your coin. Because unlike 99.9% of the people in the crypto space, I am not stepping foot in this out of a simple self-interest to buy low and sell high. That is not my interest here. My interest is in helping keep people free, right? Pro-liberty, pro-freedom, to help people migrate out of the collapsing fiat currency system and to move into decentralized finance. So, and in order to do so, to create an ecosystem that functions well in this space using the platforms that we have, and to help introduce, you know, digital wallets and privacy features and concepts of decentralized finance and concepts of cross-chain swaps and these types of things. That is my sole interest in this project. I want to apply it. I want to have the utility for our users. Now, I have, well, through my company, I have purchased a considerable amount of some privacy-oriented coins as part of a marketing budget with the intention of giving many of them, perhaps most, away to users across our networks. And again, this is not something that I asked anybody else to pay for. This is something we did ourselves. And also, I should clarify that I own crypto now, although I did not 6 months ago, but I own crypto now because I believe the fiat currency banking system is collapsing. And I have shifted my savings, as I have said publicly, shifted my own personal after-tax savings into three things, which is gold and silver and crypto. So that's what I'm doing personally. So I hold some amount of Bitcoin, some amount of Monero, some amount of, you know, Ethereum, some amount of a bunch of other coins personally. But my company owns coins in the space of privacy coins in order to be able to donate those out to people who incorporate wallets, you know, who launch wallets and use these features on our platforms. And that's part of my idea to help advocate for the application, or let's say the implementation of this technology across our user base. Now, so if you have a coin out there and it has privacy features and you would like to simply be included, or you'd like to just be one of the options that we offer our users for making donations or tipping systems or e-commerce, because my intention is to actually expand this to many, many online retailers that I personally know, that I have relationships with, that also want to accept cryptocurrency, especially if we do it first. They want to kind of see how we do it, and they want to borrow our code and so on. And we're going to make all our code open source. You know, we'll share it. You know, any code for implementation, we will contribute back to the community. Again, if you have a crypto project and you want us to be aware of it, you can email us at the following email. It is situationupdate@protonmail.com. Again, that's situationupdate@protonmail.com. Now, with that said, at the same time, if your community is involved in a civil war, a bunch of drama, if your key people or founders or whoever are insane, I want no part of your project, because we are trying to bring people options to exit the chaos of the fiat currency system. I don't want to bring people into some new chaos in the crypto space, which sadly, I know some of you are laughing. There's, you know, the crypto space is a lot of chaos. It, you know, it seems. Nevertheless, the concept is still very valid of decentralized finance, peer-to-peer cryptocurrency. And especially, I love the idea of not having one person in charge, because we've seen this in every sector of society, you know, banking or science or technology, and also in crypto, is that the more power you have concentrated into the hands of fewer and fewer people, the more insane those people become, you know, drunk with power. Sometimes they go bonkers. I mean, look at the central banks printing money like mad, right? And they're just hungry with power to dominate the world because they can print wealth from nothing. Well, look at Sam Bankman-Fried with FTX. He did the same thing in the crypto space. He printed crypto digitally and then assigned it value and then made himself a billionaire out of nothing. And then used that money to bribe a bunch of politicians, and he tried to keep himself out of jail. Doesn't look like that's going to maybe work out. But the concentration of power into the hands of the few is a very dangerous thing. And so we want to support not only privacy-oriented coins that are decentralized, but we also want to support more than one coin, so that we're not saying, oh, you have to use this one coin, or you have to use Monero. Although, again, that's the first coin we're implementing, but it won't be the last. And I also don't want to, I don't want to have direct support for Bitcoin solely, not that I don't like the concepts of Bitcoin. It's just that the blockchain is so transparent, there are really no privacy features in Bitcoin. You know, it's hard to achieve privacy. There are some interesting things you can do, like you can use Wasabi Wallet that I mentioned the other day. Wasabi Wallet is it has some privacy features, well, very good privacy features for Bitcoin, but you can only use a receive address one time in that wallet system. And that's not going to work for a platform, because we want people to be able to post their wallet receive addresses publicly and to not have their wallet history compromised by the fact that they have publicly, you know, put this address out there. And in addition, I don't want somebody from the corporate media, for example, to come in and just pull all the wallet addresses. Like, if we supported Bitcoin, they could come in, pull all the Bitcoin receive addresses, and then just start looking through everybody's Bitcoin wallets. Like, what did these people purchase? You know, people who post videos. Maybe it's a video that is a controversial topic, you know, vaccines or whatever, elections. And so we really can't implement coins that don't have good privacy. And so that's my call, to say we're only going to work with privacy-oriented coins, and we're not going to work with BTC. But I'm not anti-Bitcoin, just to be clear. Bitcoin is, I think, the universal crypto, that people can use Bitcoin to move in and out of the other coins, especially the privacy coins, assuming there are any exchanges remaining after the SEC gets done suing everybody in the industry, Binance and Coinbase and whoever else. You can tell the SEC is desperate, right? You can tell how desperate the banking system is, because they realize that people are moving out of the fiat currency system and they're moving into the crypto space on purpose. And now I think the banking system feels very threatened, more than ever. And this is why they're trying to destroy crypto. And this is why it's almost urgent that we embrace crypto honestly, ethically, with transparency. I strongly believe in these principles. This is why I've been publicly describing what I'm doing, why I'm doing it, what my positions are, that I've acquired coins in these spaces, what my intentions are to implement, to apply this technology, to integrate it into our websites, and so on. And also, in this entire process, you will notice I have never, ever stated that you should buy any one coin. I've also never made any price predictions on any coins. You notice that? Because actually, my official position is I would be happy if these coins never moved in price. If they just held their current value, I would be thrilled. Because I don't need the volatility. I just need a decentralized system where I have control over my own finances, or you have control over your own finances, right? Because we're all tired of being told by the banks, oh, you can't have your money. No, we need to interrogate you. We need to ask questions. Oh, what do you plan to do with this money? Why do you need this cash? Why do you need to wire this money? Oh, you're going to buy gold? Oh, that you shouldn't do that. Do you know these gold people? Right? These kinds of things. And the proper answer to the banker is, I don't even know you. I mean, have my money in your bank. I don't know who you are. And who are you to ask me if I know somebody else? But it's clear the banking system, the regular banking system, can't be trusted with your money. That's been made crystal clear. It's also clear that risky crypto projects and rug pulls and so on also can't be trusted with your money, right? But we want to provide the best way possible for people to transact digitally. And you don't have to keep your digital money in any particular coin. You could, if you believe in, let's say, stable coins. You could transfer it. Let's say you have a video channel in Brighttown and people tip you a bunch of money in some privacy crypto like Monero. You could take that Monero, you could swap it for Bitcoin, or you could swap it for USDT or whatever, and you could put it in a stable coin if you think that's stable. So you don't have to keep it in the privacy coin. You can. It's actually more private if you do, because once you swap it out for BTC, let's say, boom, you now have a very visible transaction and a visible wallet, and that may not be your goal. So, and also, by the way, exchanges in and out of privacy coins tend to be somewhat pricey, because the liquidity is not the same as doing something like a BTC to Litecoin exchange, let's say. So less liquidity often means, you know, higher fees in order to do this. But it's up to you. It's not up to me. It's up to you. You can do with it what you wish. And the best part is, as we implement these tipping systems on our platforms, we, the platform host, we don't even know who received what tips, because it doesn't go through us. It goes peer-to-peer. It goes from the tipping person's wallet to your wallet as the content creator, and doesn't go through us. We don't take a cut. We don't have a log file on our server. How could we? It's your receive address. People just send to it when they feel like it. We have no knowledge of that transaction. So why is this good? Well, because let's say that, you know, some government agency wants to snoop into your wallet or your transactions, and they come to us and they issue us a court order. Give us everything you have on the transactions going to this wallet, which belongs to this user on your network, okay? Our answer would be, here's everything we have, blank page. And it's not a trick. It's honest. It's accurate. Everything we have is right here. It's blank. There's nothing. We don't have anything. All we know is this user's wallet address because they posted it. We have no idea how many transactions they've received, and nor do we want to know. You see the value of this. Now, I'm shocked that there aren't more platforms doing what I'm talking about. I really am. I'm shocked that there aren't more use cases of crypto. It seems like the history of crypto up until recently has been just about, you know, making money, FOMO, right? Buy low, sell high, speculation. That was most of crypto, and very few people were actually using it in ways that I'm talking about. And perhaps that's why some people, even right now, have such a hard time believing that my entire goal here is to apply this tech. But frankly, honestly, I'm a little bit offended by the fact that more people aren't getting this. I feel like the crypto community should be a little more helpful here, given that I'm trying to trailblaze the implementation of crypto technology in use cases that show its utility without even talking about price or speculation. At any price, it has high utility. And I frankly expected a little more of an upbeat, positive, you know, interaction about these issues. And perhaps that's what I will experience as I interact with more and more projects.
But I'm just shocked that it's hard for a lot of people to believe that someone like me wants to implement their technology and isn't running a scam, right? Isn't running a fraud, isn't running a scheme, just simply wants to implement it, buy the coins, give them away, add value to the network. And like, that's just unbelievable. No one's heard of that before. What? An honest person wanting to use crypto for what it was supposedly intended for? What? We've never seen that before. That looks like an alien, you know? I would think that there'd be more people doing what I'm doing. But for whatever reason, so far, no. Honestly, I'm at a bit of a loss for words on that point. I honestly don't know why. Because cryptocurrency solves some really key problems. You know, gets people out of the centralized fiat currency banking system, which is breaking. It gives people control over their money. It is borderless. It is global. It's relatively fast and relatively inexpensive for the right types of coins and projects. And with the privacy features of some coins, it's fully private. I mean, what's not to like about it? Like, how could you screw this up? You know, it's such great technology and it solves so many great problems, like about tipping or e-commerce or loyalty point type of things. You know, you could reward people for through things like attention tokens, you know, like Brave has done with the Brave browser. It has such amazing applications. I just can't believe that more people don't see it at this point. Or that more people aren't using it in this way, or that more people aren't accepting the fact that I'm trying to use it in this way. So I'm doing the best I can in this space. And, you know, no good deed goes unpunished, by the way, just to be clear. If you try to do anything good in this world, you will be attacked and blamed for it. Just rest assured. You try to do anything good, you try to do anything honest, you'll be attacked. Now, if you're a dishonest person, you know, you'll be propped up by the media as the most amazing angel. You know, if you're a total scammer, criminal, fraud, thief, then, oh yeah, everybody will be told that you're awesome. If you're honest, because our world doesn't want honesty, then you will be rejected and all kinds of questions and suspicion will be raised about you because, well, we've never seen honest people before. So just keep that in mind. In everything that you do in society right now, if you operate with ethics, morality, honesty, transparency, and truth, that will be an alien concept to a lot of people that you interact with because that's not where they're coming from. And they tend to project their dark selves onto you, their shadow selves. Whatever crazy crap they're doing, they project it onto you. And, you know, you've probably seen this all throughout COVID and the pandemic and the vaccines and everything. And, you know, where the people who took all the booster shots would claim that they need to lock up the unvaccinated because the unvaccinated might be a danger and spreading filth and disease, right? Meanwhile, actually the vaccinated people are shedding spike protein all over everyone. So they're projecting their toxins onto everyone else, but blaming you. You know, there's many examples of that in this world, which is why we have to be diligent. We have to persevere. We have to be transparent. We have to communicate. Maybe I haven't done as good a job communicating as I should have. That's why I'm recording this podcast. But just to summarize this, again, if you are part of a project and if all of this makes sense to you and you understand that I don't want anything from you, I'm not asking for anything other than, you know, maybe some R&D integration help, but I am interested in implementing your project for the purpose that it was probably originally intended, which is to let people engage in digital transactions of value. I am your perfect use case. Here I am, ready to implement. You can't ask for a more golden opportunity. In a world where everybody else is fleeing crypto and the SEC is trying to shut everything down, here I am wanting to support this ecosystem of digital money, and I am ready and willing to help those who approach this with a sense of honesty, sanity, and rationality, and transparency. So that's my position. So that resonates with you, reach out to us. Okay, and I promise to keep you all posted about our implementation of whatever various technologies come our way. I am actively researching. I'm actively engaged in a lot of due diligence. I'm actively communicating with several different groups, reading white papers and things like that. So you might hear that I'm talking to somebody. You might hear that I'm looking into something. You might find out that I am testing a project, testing a coin, talking to licensees of various companies that have various Web3 technologies, whatever. It's all true. I'm talking to lots of people right now, trying to find the best solutions. And I'm determined to do so, even if I have to wade through a quagmire every once in a while to get there. But thank you for listening. Mike Adams here, the founder of Brighteon.com. I want to wish you the most freedom and liberty and happiness that you can enjoy, and health, by the way. And let's hopefully work together to make that happen. Thanks for listening. Take care.